well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The Second Amendment.
Lee and myself are sitting down today with Vince Logan of Will County Board.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Thanks for coming and agreeing to do this.
Yeah, really. Thanks a lot, Vince.
Absolutely.
It's cool. It means a lot to me.
Vince, I got a question I typically ask our guests, and that is, what does the Second Amendment mean to you as...
So the Second Amendment means to me that everybody should be able to have a firearm.
Are you an absolutist as far as that goes? Do you think that there should be restrictions within the Second Amendment and within those firearms?
Well, when it was written, there weren't any clauses in there. There weren't any like I's and A's and B's or whatever. But being a former police officer, yeah. Yeah, there should be something.
Such as what? What do you think of common sense or reasonable restrictions are?
I don't think felons should have guns legally. Okay. I mean, we know they have them illegally, but they shouldn't have them legally.
Do you think any felon or like certain categories of felon, like how do you feel about that?
That's a great question because you could be a felon for writing a bad check.
Right. Really, and I just wonder, do you think more violent felons when you think that or just a felon in general?
So when felony pops up on a criminal history, it just says felony. So okay. I would think like a white collar crime is... not that bad, because those are regular people doing regular stuff, just making bad choices.
Right.
You can get a felony as a traffic incident, and you know that doesn't necessarily mean that you're a violent individual.
Yeah. Well, I think nowadays you can get a felony for not registering your firearm.
First time's a misdemeanor.
So, I mean...
I'm going to show maybe my ignorance a little bit, too. Like, if you get a felony, aren't things a lot of times... pleaded down, so like maybe I did do a violent act, but don't a lot of those things when they go to court?
Oh, absolutely.
So then I might not be.
So if you get,
I might be a different kind of felony, or maybe not a felony at all, and still be
right
have a violent history.
So the way we look at it is, you have a felony on your record, you did something really bad, or you have a bad lawyer.
Right.
One or the other.
Okay. And I'll we can come back to more of the restrictions that you agree with, but I'll put it out there, and this is probably not a popular opinion, is I think if someone is a felon, they should be allowed a firearm. If they have served their sentence and they have fulfilled that obligation that the court says they have to fulfill, whether it's probation, serving time, if the court system feels that they could be let back out in society and they are not a danger, even as a felon, I feel that they should be able to get a firearm.
So I guess the question comes, how well do you trust that system?
Well,
because they're letting people go now that are committing crimes.
My short answer is not very much. I don't have a lot of faith in that system. So
sort of ideally is...
Ideally.
Okay.
With the caveat of maybe that system needs a little reworking also.
Well, we know that.
Right.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah, that's a really good observation or a good
clause
to put on the end of that.
So a guy goes to prison for murder,
mm-hmm.
somehow gets 40 years and gets out. He can carry a gun?
In my opinion, yeah. If he is being let out of prison, then we are being told that he is safe to be among us again.
So what if his crime is armed robbery and he shot and killed two clerks?
Don't let him out.
What if he gets out by some chance, because there's legislature right now that if you're 55 years old or older, they can let you out.
That's part of, to me, it's a separate issue. And that needs to be fixed also.
It needs not to happen.
That needs not to happen. But I'm also a fan of being much more strict on crime with punishment. So, I believe in the death sentence. I believe in capital punishment. And I believe that if you're a habitual felon, if you commit a violent felony and you go to jail and you come out and you commit another violent crime, you should be in line to be put to death. And then we don't have to worry about when do they get out and are they allowed to have a firearm. But if somebody passed 9 bad checks and committed extortion and they're a felon and they go to jail for 7 years and they are released and they have 1 or 2 or 7 felonies on their record, if they have fulfilled that obligation to the court system, to the penal code, to the penal system, to society, then they should be able to have a firearm.
Clean slate.
Yeah.
Interesting.
If the court system or If it is a concern that they are still a danger to society, then they shouldn't be let out.
In a perfect world, that'd be nice.
There's a lot there.
Yeah, it's just that there is a lot there. Everything has to be overhauled then. The parole board has to be overhauled. Length of the duration that they're in prison. Judges. Everything.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what was coming to my mind is like who decides.
Yeah, and the problem there is any time something is subjective and people are in control of it, there will be flaws.
Yeah, we're only human.
Right, absolutely. So I didn't mean to interrupt, but as far as other restrictions, common sense gun laws, any?
I think another one, if you've, well, in this one, if you've been some type of hospitalization or institutionalized, we should probably take a look at that too.
You're talking from like a mental capacity?
Illness, yeah.
I probably agree with you a lot more on that one than the felon one, because I think that's where a lot of our issues actually start from.
Yeah, because you think of people that take other people's lives with guns, there's obviously something wrong with them.
There's got to be
something wrong. But yeah, other than that, I can't really think of anything. What else would there be? I know now they're letting illegals take guns, have guns.
I was baffled by that one.
Yeah, we actually have illegals as police officers.
Can you guys elaborate on some of that?
I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago, and I don't want to say for certain, but I think it was somewhere in Chicago. Well, there was a judge that said, you know, some of these illegal migrants that are venturing out through the country are allowed to have a firearm in Illinois.
Yeah.
And it's baffling to me because we have all sorts of people
allowed to possess it.
Legally possess a firearm.
They would not be able to buy it because they wouldn't have the proper credentials to buy one, but sort of if they had one, they could
keep having it.
Thank you.
Wow.
And that's scary. I mean, in order for prior to that, in order for anyone in Illinois to legally possess a firearm, what's required of firearm FOID. Owner FOID. ID, FOID, you know, card. Commonly known as FOID. So I believe also not long after that was stated in court, somebody made a motion to once again do away with the FOID system in Illinois, saying if somebody is a non-citizen and they are allowed to have a firearm, then that means this process is by default not necessary. So it'll be very interesting.
That's a big argument too, the FOID card. That's been going around for years.
Long time.
Long time.
And not that I necessarily agree with it, but if you go back to when it was instituted, and I know I have the year wrong, but it was right around 1970, I believe. I understand the notion of if we issue somebody a FOID card and they want to go purchase a firearm, they can show that FOID and prove right away they've had their background checked on, they're a safe person, they're not a concern.
That concept seems smart, like TSA pre-boarding.
Sure.
That makes sense.
But what it didn't do was allow them to get that firearm. They still had to go through the same process of a background check and a waiting period.
Yep.
So it didn't accomplish what would have made sense to have a reason to implement.
I can see that.
Do either of you know, has that ever gone up to a higher court? The FOID
I know issue? There's a court in Southern Illinois that has deemed the FOID system unconstitutional, and then a stay went in place. And I believe it's happened more than once.
Wow. Interesting.
Because, in part,
I have a lot to learn.
As does everyone. But in part because you're not supposed to have to pay a tax to have a firearm. And we all know to get a FOID, even though it's a minimal cost,
right.
There's a fee associated with it.
Maybe they disguise the tax as a fee. Same thing. We all know it's the same thing.
Absolutely.
And I do know that there is a Naperville officer who is DACA. Is that right? DACA? DACA? DACA?
Yeah.
One of those
Delayed action for
he's arrival. A police officer. It's either he or she. I don't know, but I just heard through the grapevine that there's one in Naperville. Naperville has one.
No kidding.
So they leave their weapons there, and they travel back and forth without a weapon, but they have their weapon there, and they don't own the weapon.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. And I know they just signed legislature to make illegals able to be police officers. That just got signed, so that's a little concerning.
That's very concerning to me.
Yeah, the idea of the value of citizenship was that citizenship would entitle you to certain benefits, right, from that society. And so this is a question that's coming up a lot for more philosophical types.
Yeah.
They're sort of looking at as this is a, you know, seems to be a gradual diminishment of the idea of citizenship or the growth of the world citizen concept, right? Mm-hmm. So like rights apply to everybody. We're all world citizens. And so these differentiations or these shades of gray between who's a citizen of what country are becoming less important, and just the world citizenship being more important. I don't know. I haven't figured out, you know,
my
feelings on it, but
I think
I know where I lean, but I'm not sure.
I hear you there. I was at a meeting last night, a political meeting, and one of the people there brought up that they were at a school function and they were at a pledge, and the last part of the pledge was, "I pledge to be a global citizen." Have you heard of that?
First time I've heard of it.
This is a pledge in a school.
No kidding.
They did the Pledge of Allegiance, and then they said, okay, we're doing the next pledge, and there was kind of like a very be kind, be nice, be blah, 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 and then we pledged to be global citizens. That's what kind of threw up a red flag with this certain person. That's why they got into politics.
Yeah.
So speaking of, would you mind taking a moment and just telling us a little bit about, you know, your current position in politics?
Or the genesis. We'll get, I don't know, maybe we're going to go backward.
I can go backward.
Chronologically, but... like sort of maybe your genesis of like getting into politics.
Yeah.
So why
I got into politics. So in 2021, there was this House Bill 163 that had just been kind of introduced. And at the time I was teaching law enforcement in high school, and we kind of heard rumblings about this thing is going to change. It's going to conceptualize law enforcement. It's going to make it so much better. It's going to reform law enforcement. And then we started reading this House Bill 163, and the opposition was staggering. There was 30,000 people that were opposed to it. So it got kind of shelved. And then it's cranked up as House Bill 3653. And you guys all know it is a safety act. So the politicians in Springfield realized that they had major opposition to this thing, so they shut that bill down, and they threw it onto another bill, pushed it through in a lame duck session, and now we're stuck with this thing they call the Safety Act. So I called my state senator. Mind you, I didn't know who it was. I looked it up, like everyone should, but this time I had no idea, and I'm 50-something years old, and I started talking to her, and I was like, did you say yes to the Safety Act thing? And she's like, no, I just got on. I just became a senator. I didn't have a chance to read it. It's 600 plus pages. I said no. And I'm like, well, thank you for doing that, because there's a lot of stuff in there that's really bad. And then I called my state rep. That was a completely different situation. She said that she didn't have time to read it, but she has people that read it. They told her that it was great, and that's why she voted yes for it. And I'm like, well, shouldn't you have read that before you said yes? And she goes, well, Vince, that's not how politics are done, and if you want to change it, you get into politics. I was like, oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, there's a thought.
Okay, there it is. I've been in law enforcement.
I don't think she knew who she was talking to.
She didn't know who she was talking to. Yeah. So I've been in law enforcement before that, teaching, and then cops and teachers don't normally get into politics. We stay away from it. I don't know why, but we've always been told that, which is probably unfortunate, because those are two areas that are affected so much by politics. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to run for something. So I decided I'm going to run for state Senate. I do numbers. I looked at the numbers. I couldn't win running on my platform just because the state senator at the time was very solid. So I was like, you know, I'm going to go against the House rep. And I started asking questions about, you know, what it entails, what's it take to be a politician. And then my principal at the time said, oh, you do that, you might as well just, you know, kiss your high school career gone, because that's just going to be gone, because you're going to have to go do the politics thing. So then I landed on, you know what, maybe I run for county board, see how that is. So then I ran for county board.
Gotcha.
So that's how I became into politics this way. The first thing I did, I got into politics because of, I was told that if you want to do it, you got to do it yourself.
And that's where you're at now, sitting on the Will County
Board. So I sit on the Will County Board. I'm on the Ordinance Committee. I'm on Public Works. I'm on Transportation. I'm on the Courthouse Committee. I'm on the Full Access Committee. I'm on the Legislative Committee. I'm on the Finance Committee. There's only two committees that I'm not on, just because I want to know what's going on in Will County.
Gotcha.
If you don't sit there and listen to it, you don't know. And there's a ton of stuff that's going on.
Cool. Thanks for doing that.
Good and bad. Yeah. Good and bad.
Yeah. Well, gotcha. Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at. And then they automatically put you on to the Forest Reserve. So I automatically sit on the Forest Reserve. And since I'm a numbers guy, I'm on the Finance Committee for the Forest Reserve. And that's fun.
You enjoy that?
I do like politics. I sacrificed a lot for it, but I do like politics.
You're a great teacher.
Well, thank you.
I said, people that are listening probably don't know our background. We were trying to think of, we probably met about 10 years ago and it was just sort of random.
At least 10 years ago.
Yeah, I was probably a few years into doing self-defense stuff with young people, with youths.
Mm-hmm.
You had me come in and train some of your, what would you call them, cadets?
They were high school students that went to Yorkville High School, Sandwich High School, Salmonek, and they elected to come to a career center, vocational center. It would be very similar to what Wilco is here.
Yes.
Grundy's got one, GAVC, Lake County's got one, TCD and DuPage. So they all have vocational career centers, so they teach the kids either a skill like automotive or welding.
I'm a big fan of those. I like those.
I love those. And I taught law enforcement. I was a police officer. I decided to get out and go become a teacher. I tried sixth grade social studies. Sorry, Lee. I just couldn't.
Come on, it's great.
I just couldn't do sixth grade. I just couldn't do it. And I think it was because where I was at, there was at least 14 new teachers in the building, and they kind of pushed me to the back. Me and another person. There was a couple of us. They kind of pushed to the back. And you know, being a first year teacher, there's a lot of stuff that goes on.
Yes, indeed.
And Harry Wong wrote a book about being the first year. I guess he wrote a book about first day teachers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of out there, just kind of doing my own thing. I had two mentors, but one had 26 years in, and one had 31 years in. So the last thing I want to do is mentor a 1 year first year
guy.
So I was there. I struggled a ton. I'm like, you know, this is not going to work. So then I just Googled law enforcement and teaching, and I found the career center.
Perfect fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what impressed me?
I call them students. Yeah, students.
What impressed me right away was just you went above and beyond.
So much fun.
Yeah, you had really interesting people come in. You know, if I were in a position of one of those young people in your class, you're the type of instructor that I would have wanted.
Oh, thank you. Because, that means a lot. That means a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. You had not just because you had me come in, but
that was fun. That day you came in was a lot of fun. Well, you too, came in, every time you came in, that was fun. The kids loved it.
Yeah,
loved it. Your PowerPoint was.
But I mean, you set up outside of those days where you had people come in. You also had you set up CQB shoot houses for the kids to practice.
I had about 1,000 square foot shoot house. We used airsoft. Oh, it was a lot of fun. You had a lot of fun there.
Yeah. I bet.
We did all airsoft. We had full gear on, and I can't tell you, we went through 500,000 BBs.
Did you really?
Since the time I was there.
That's great.
Yeah, a lot of. I had probably one time 100 guns. 100 guns. We did M9s. I had SIGs. I had Glocks. We did a lot of M16 stuff, M4 stuff. We had the Army come in and show how the Army.
I remember that.
Really?
Yeah, so the Army came in, and then we had Kendall County SWAT, DeKalb County SWAT. And they would actually train with us after the school was closed. I would supply, like, the role players, and then the SWAT teams would come in, and they would practice with my role players. And they're like, oh, we're going to be nice to them. I'm like, nope, don't be nice to them. They know exactly what they're getting for. You know, they all volunteered for it, and it's amazing how many kids wanted to do this.
That's a great way to keep them engaged.
They were so engaged. And then we went to uniforms, and then we jumped on with commendations, and then we started doing ribbons, and kids would earn ribbons, so they would have ribbons on their chest. And it was nice to see. You could see five or six kids stand on a line, and you could just see some of them are just, like, highly decorated. And you got ribbons for, like, 15 to 20 different things. And the more the kids did, the more ribbons they got, and... Because kids in high school now, and kids in school, and Lee, you'll attest to this, they don't get recognition.
Yeah.
Some of them just get lost.
Absolutely. Yes. I can see
unless
that.
Unless you're on either one area or the other area, the kids in the middle kind of get lost sometimes.
Academically and sports are still there. It gets the praise. Yes. But there is a sort of a lost group that...
There is.
Maybe those aren't there.
It's like 30% of the kids, maybe. So then these kids would be like, oh my gosh, I can jump and I can get a accommodation. I get a ribbon for doing that. All of a sudden now they're at the top and,
you know. Or you have some kids, boys and girls included, that just like to be physical.
Yeah.
And they get a chance to do it. It's pretty amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I had, we did one scenario where we're training with the DeKalb County Sheriff's Department and they had to go hands-on with one of my students and they threw this person to the ground and she grunted. And he's like, stop, stop, stop. And I was like, why, what's going on? He goes, you didn't tell me there's girls here. I'm like, does it matter? And he's like, well, I guess not. carry on.
Carry on, yeah, carry on.
And
yeah.
and they got some of the best training. Yorkville, Kendall came in one time. They actually rewrote some of their procedures in SWAT because we actually set up a, almost like a bomb, but we set up a bomb in the back of the room, and one of their SWAT guys walked up to it, and I pushed a button. It was actually Claymore full of powder, full of BBs. He walked right up to it, grabbed it. I hit the button, poof, covered in powder. He walked out, and he's covered in powder, and the guy's like, why are you covered in powder? So then I had to tell him, well, he grabbed one of
our got blown up.
Yeah. So like, did you not see it? The guy goes, yeah, I saw it. He goes, but I know what to do.
Maybe not grab it.
Yeah, or leave. So now they rewrote their policies. There's certain words they use now when they have that situation. Everyone knows, and it was because of that training. So, I mean, it was cool. And that was, gosh, that was 15 years ago.
Sorry, go ahead, Joe.
Do you know, did any of those students end up going to pursue a law enforcement?
So that's a great question. Every year I had about 50 students that would sign up. And they all want to be the police. Everyone wants to be the police. And we first start out, what do you think the police is? What do you think they do? They all write their stories. And then probably about a third of the way through, we do report writing. Kids are like, I don't like writing reports. And then right around Thanksgiving, we did a thing called Red Man. That was the only school in Illinois to do Red Man. Red Man is guys are dressed up basically in foam, and we do self-defense. Kids didn't like that. They didn't like touching people. They don't like going hands-on with people. So now I'm down to maybe 25% of the kids still want to be the police. And then I have one day where the kids just sit there. It's a two-hour class. So I was just like, I'll be right to you. I'll get to you guys in a couple seconds. They sit there. I wouldn't talk to them. They just sitting there for 2 hours. I was like, all right, class is over. Like, we didn't do anything. I was like, welcome to law enforcement. One day you're not going to do anything. And they're like, oh, my gosh, this is boring. I don't like this. So by the time I got down to the end, I had probably four or five kids that were really good. They really wanted to do it. Those kids went on to be the youngest detective ever in Aurora Police Department.
No kidding.
The youngest applicant ever to graduate the police academy. There's another one that was the first canine officer in their department, the youngest investigator in the department. I've got six officers of the year from Aurora Police Department. So the ones that went on knew exactly what they were getting into.
Right.
Exactly.
They were focused.
They were focused, and they knew the pros and the cons. They knew the divorce rate. They knew the stress rate. They knew pensions. They know IRAs. They know how the money works. They know everything about law enforcement. They're like, this is what I want to get into.
This is still what I want to do after learning all of that.
And as far as I know, all of them are still in it. As far as I know.
That's great.
It is. And the other 40 that didn't want to do it are doing something else. And I like that because when I was in Evanston, there was a kid next to me who was probably about 27 years old.
And real quick, Evanston, you were Evanston a police officer for how long?
Yeah, just 3 years.
Okay.
That's all it took. He was there. His locker was right next to mine, and he had, was it cirrhosis? Cirrhosis, right? Is that from drinking?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he had cirrhosis from drinking. He was like 27, 28.
Really?
And I'm like, man, I was like, are you okay? He goes, I hate this job. I hate being a police. No one ever told me about it, but I can't quit. So I'm making $100,000 a year. I got a wife.
Pension.
I got kids. I'm like, man, if only someone could have got to him earlier. Maybe he could have gone. He could have been a fireman, or he could have been a finance guy. But his life is just going down that road. That it's just
a bad path.
It's a bad path, which makes for a bad person, a bad cop, and then that toxic cop makes everybody else. But I mean, it's just it's the whole slippery slope snowball effect. So when I went to teaching, I'm like, yeah, I think my greatest thing was that I would steer kids away from going into law enforcement. Because it's not for everybody.
Yeah, I could certainly say in my interactions with you there that you did not glamorize or certainly not over-glamorize it at all.
No, that was 100%.
It was down and dirty. They did fun stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But they had to work and they had to,
Yeah.
My first thought was that, you know, I really appreciate the fact that you're in politics. I think it's a great thing.
It's fun.
But, you know, my first reaction was that it was a loss because I think about the kids that are going to go. And they're just there's not going to be a Vince Logan.
Yeah. I don't know what they're doing now. They have a lot of guest speakers. I don't know if they do any hands-on stuff anymore. And I've kind of separated. I'm just like, you know, that chapter's done. I'm moving on.
Yeah.
One of the things I've learned in my life is the rearview mirror is only this big because you don't want to look in the back. The front, you want to go forward. So, So I'm on chapter, I don't know, five or six now of my life.
All right.
And it's politics and some other stuff.
So as you're looking forward from a political aspect, what are your aspirations bigger than Will County?
You know, that's a great question. So I'm up for re-election this November. I should win because there's two people from my district, and I'm on District 7, which is South Plainfield, West Joliet, and North Shorewood. And I come out almost to the county line. So you're in Kendall right here, right?
Yes.
This is Kendall County. So I should win that, and once I win that, that's a four-year stint, and then I'll get back onto all my committees. I'm working on some other stuff today. I just introduced video gaming to our county. People don't know that yet, so that's going to be kind of fun. But we're going to try and see if we can't write an ordinance to allow video gaming in Will County.
Is it not allowed? No?
It is not. No, we have an ordinance that prohibits video gaming in Will County. And we're talking about, when I talk about Will County, I'm talking about unincorporated Will County.
Gotcha, okay.
So like Joliet's not, that's incorporated, so it doesn't apply there, but there's some areas outside of Joliet that's unincorporated. Mm-hmm. If they want a video game, they can't have it now.
Gotcha.
So I just introduced that today, and it went over really well with both parties, Democrats and Republicans. So that's nice, because that's a nice little stream. So, so something like that excites me, and I wish I could do it on a bigger level. So maybe in 2 or 4 years, I might look to go to the state level. Right now, we've got a really good senator in our area. She's in another party, but she's still a decent senator. I like her. But the House is open.
Gotcha.
The House is open. That answers a question.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe in the future.
Yeah, maybe. It's a big commitment to get into politics, so it's a big commitment.
And not just for you. When you're in politics,
entire family's in politics.
Right.
Really?
And then we're all kind of on a spectacle. Everyone's looking and seeing what you're doing.
Yeah, everybody's got a magnifying glass, and everybody's looking to trip you up on
absolutely,
something.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Hold it against you.
And they do. Yeah, no matter what you do, you're gonna offend somebody, and you're going to make someone happy, you're going to offend other people. It's a double-edged sword.
Even at this level.
Even at this level, yeah. We just had a huge case. We're trying to expand. They were trying to expand 143rd Street in Homer Glen. I don't know if you guys are familiar with 143rd Street, but it goes basically from I-55 east towards Chicago.
Yeah.
They want to expand to 5 lanes. Right now it's 2. And the people there don't want it. The mayor doesn't want it. Trustees, the township doesn't want it. The only person who wants it is the mayor of Orland Park, because that'll get people off of 355 through Homer Glen to Orland Park, which is Cook County.
Right.
So it just made sense that I'm going to be against that. I'm going to be against that that expansion. So I talked to my people in my group and some other people, and we voted to stop the expansion. But we have a different type of government than most counties do. So our county executive was able to veto it, and they're still going to go through with it.
No kidding.
Yeah, so it's kind of sad because Homer Glen's a really pretty, if you've been to that village, it's a really pretty village.
Oh, yeah.
143rd, when you drive down it, both sides is nature, there's golf courses, there's schools, and now they're going to make that a 5-lane superhighway just from people at 355 to Orland Park. It's sad. It's a big loss for the people in Homer Glen.
Yeah, I could see that.
But that's why I got into politics, to help people like that. It's not over yet. The fight's still, we're still fighting, but I don't know what more we can do, because unfortunately with our government, the way it is, Will County is, she has the last say.
Period. It doesn't matter how many votes or.
That's it. We can override her veto with 14 out of the 22 votes, but right now we're at 13. And unfortunately that's politics.
Don't see another vote or two in your favor?
No, there's other things that are at play right now, I guess you could say.
Gotcha.
It's an election year. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Elections cost money.
Yeah.
So we can probably leave it at that right
there. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Which is really interesting, because she signed the resolution on a Friday to go ahead and cease it. And then Saturday she said, you know what? I think I'm going to veto that. So what happened between Friday and Saturday? Who knows?
It'd be interesting to find out.
No one will ever know. But politics is good because we do so many other things, especially at the county level. A lot of it is bipartisan, which means that both parties agree on so much stuff that we do, which is nice.
There's a lot of that within the Will County Board.
Yeah, I think as of right now, since I've been on there a year and a half, I think there's maybe 4 times that we didn't agree on something. And we're talking 1,000 votes that we've done.
Okay.
Probably 4 times that we didn't.
So the vast majority of times there's a lot of people working together.
Absolutely, yeah. Because it's 22 people like us. People come in, they want variances on their land. Well, okay, that makes sense. Okay, let's go ahead and do that. They want to do this, they want to do that. So then we just approve it.
I gotcha. I'd like to circle back to the Safety Act that you mentioned. And obviously myself, Lee, you as an individual are pretty, I assume.
I read it.
What parts of it do you agree with and disagree with?
So that's a great question. That's a lot of great questions. Do I agree that police work needs reform? Absolutely. I've been in it since 1988. There's all kinds of issues that we need to address.
Such as? Maybe just a couple of them.
So training. We don't train.
And when you say you don't train, do you mean with a firearm, physically, all of it?
I'll go back to Evanston. Evanston had 8 hours of in-service every year. That's our training.
What does that mean? 8 hours of in-service.
So we take one day, we train on how to use a baton, how to use a taser.
I gotcha.
How to use OC spray.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much everybody. So you're standing in line, and you got, imagine 40 people standing in line going through the process.
And it's 8 hours a person for the year.
Would they do those kind of like round robin? Like
you round robin.
Place to place.
Yeah. But it's just one day, maybe 2 days, depending on how many people there were.
I agree with you on that, then.
We did one day
of training.
We did one day of sim training, and I got to go through one scenario. So sim munitions is much different than airsoft. It hurts. You have to wear full gear. You're using real guns, shooting chalk that comes out at a very high speed. Nobody likes it because it hurts. But the people that instruct it say, well, then that'll teach you. And no, it doesn't. It teaches me how to hide.
Right.
Because when you walk in, and I hate to say this, but these instructors, as soon as you walk in, they want to blast you. Because that'll teach you a lesson. It doesn't teach anybody a lesson. So I was there for 8 hours one day. I went through one scenario. I walked in. I got shot. I was done. So then I had to sit there the rest of the day.
But that counted for the 8
hours.
That was
my 8 hours of training for that year.
Wow.
So yeah, training. It's horrible. So you take the fire industry. They're training every Tuesday or every Wednesday. They train every single week.
Gotcha.
Why don't we do that? Why don't police officers train like that? We could do it.
Now, was the 8 hours that was up in Evanston, was the 8 hours, was that a department policy or other departments?
No, department policy. That was ours,
And each department gets to set their own in
each
terms
one does
of...
it. Yeah, there's some that train 8 hours a month. I know the Secret Service, they do physicals once every 3 months. I know that when I worked for a smaller town in the mid-90s, we did shootings the first Sunday or the second Sunday of the month. Every Sunday, we'd go out to the range.
Okay.
And then the chief would buy us lunch. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I liked it. So we got to shoot. We all knew how to shoot. Flip side to that is we didn't know how to handle mental illness. We didn't know how to handle domestic battery because that wasn't what we were trained on. Yeah. So it's kind of interesting that we need more training. Law enforcement needs a ton more training.
I agree with you on a lot of fronts there. I'm just curious.
And there's nothing in the Safety Act about that.
To say training, it's a wide spectrum of what you can train for.
Right, and their training might consist of, you got to do 40 hours a week, but you can actually do that on a computer. Okay, we've all done training on a computer.
Yeah, what are you really learning?
Click. You don't learn anything, and it's horrible. So training. What else? I think that's the biggest thing in law enforcement right now is the training. I think a lot of it goes to the court systems.
Yeah.
The courts need to be revamped. The judges need to be revamped. It's just, I had a case one time in Evanston that I walked up and the judge was like, we're going to pass this until after lunch. I'm like, I haven't even talked yet. He's like, well, no, we're going to pass your case. And I just kind of looked at him and the defense lawyer goes, what time is tea time today again? I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Okay, welcome to Cook County.
Yeah, one of the things that Lee and I really try and promote is encouraging people to register to vote. And instead of just running down a ballot and choosing a side, actually do a little bit of research and educate oneself, because especially on local levels, your vote really can make a difference.
It makes a huge difference, And I'm glad you guys said that, because I would think that 70% of the people in Illinois all want the same thing, maybe even more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to live in a state that's safe. They want their taxes to be low. They want to be able to walk on the streets without getting mugged and stuff like that. So, I mean, we all
want to be left alone.
We want to be left alone. We want to live our lives. Yeah. We don't want to be
freely
what to do.
Right.
And that's the platform of a certain certain political party that unfortunately isn't in charge anymore. But now the other party's in charge, and they have what they call a supermajority. So they can do whatever they want. They don't even need to ask permission. So my question would be, why is Illinois not the greatest state? They could actually level the playing field and make Illinois the best state in the country. Why aren't they doing that? Why do they pass these kind of silly laws? Well, unfortunately, we need the people to get out and vote, like you said, especially even in the county races. My county district, I won by like 1,000 votes.
Oh, okay.
1,000 votes out of, there was 17,000 people that voted.
What kind of, what per, from a percentage standpoint for registered voters, do you recall about what kind of turnout would that have been?
We have 670,000 people in Will County.
Registered voters, or is that under 18? And
no, that's our population.
Okay.
670, almost 700,000 people in Will County. The last election, which would have been not the presidential election, but I forget what they call the election between presidentials, but there's another one. We had 66,000 people vote.
Pretty poor turnout.
10%.
Yeah.
10% of the people. And unfortunately, this May, when May rolls around, taxes just skyrocketed because the parties to be, unfortunately, with Will County decided that they wanted to tax 5.5%. Unfortunately, right now it's a split. We have 11 Democrats and 11 Republicans. So the person in charge, the county executive, is a tiebreaker.
Makes a decision.
She makes a decision. So her decision this year was to, you know what, we're going to tax the max. We're going to tax 4% and then another percent and a half. So we're going to do 5.5%. So when May comes around, the property taxes in Will County are going to go up probably about $200, $300.
No kidding.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like a lot, but year after year after year right. after year, I mean, geez, I know when I moved to Joliet, my property taxes were like $4,000. Now I'm close to $7,500 in just 15 years.
I moved in Shanahan in 03, and I want to say they were 34 in some change, and they're probably, I mean, they're definitely up over 200%, maybe 250.
The question is why?
Is that a rhetorical question or is that an actual question?
Well, no, I sit on the finance committee, so I could tell you why. We have a $814 million budget for Will County. We're the fourth largest county, but yet we have the second highest budget. DuPage's and Lake is right around $600 million. So why is ours $200 million more? What do we have that they don't?
And what is that?
I don't know. They have a lot of stuff. DuPage has, it's a great county. Why don't we have a lot of stuff? I mean, $200 million buys a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it'd be different if the roads looked great, if the bridges were great, if there was all sorts of recreation parks.
Mm-hmm. But the Forest Reserve takes care of that, so that's their own budget. We have a lot of Forest Reserve. They do a great job. They actually decreased this year taxes.
Yeah, the Forest Reserve.
Yeah. So, I mean, can we get the people that run the Forest Reserve to come over to Will County? That'd be kind of nice, or the board, but interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
So you're a cop in Evanston?
Yes, was.
Yeah.
Three years, almost to the day. And midnight shift, DUIs was my forte.
How many guns did you see, like illegal guns in that capacity? Was there a lot of that?
No. Maybe through 3 years, I think I maybe turned off maybe 4 guns, maybe.
Okay.
It wasn't a lot. Okay. But I didn't. That wasn't my niche, though.
How about later on? Did that change or anything? Did that ever change? Did you?
Oh, I don't know what they're doing now. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. I mean, I have not recovered a ton of guns in my career. However,
law enforcement for 20.
I graduated the academy in '95.
Yeah.
And so '95 to 2004, I was full time. And from 2004 to 2022, I was part time.
Yeah. And did you see anything as far as that concern change in that amount of time? Like,
did
things get worse with respect to firearms?
No, I don't. Well, my part-time departments were farther west, so there wasn't a lot of traffic, not a lot of firearms, stuff like that.
Okay. What other departments?
I worked in Maywood for a little while.
Okay.
The firearms there were rampant. That was the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. So we can't even count that. Then I worked in a town called Sominac, which is way west.
I know where Sominac is.
Yeah, I worked there for like 6-7 years, maybe 8 years. Then I ended up in Maple Park, which is even farther.
Yep, very familiar with Maple Park also.
So that's why I left Maple Park in 2022.
You really went west.
I did. So as I taught in Sandwich, that's where I taught high school, I liked the area. I liked the people. I liked
gotcha.
It's much different than the city people.
Oh, yeah.
People out there are friendly. They wave at you with all their fingers. I mean, it's a different type of atmosphere. But I didn't want to work in the small towns where my schools went to because I would hate to go. Say I worked in Earlville, and then I got to go to a domestic in Earlville, and it's one of my students' parents.
Sure.
So I'm like, well, where can I go? That's going to be, I can go a little bit farther north. So then Maple Park was hiring in 2018, maybe it was.
Okay.
I interviewed with them, and then I worked with them for, 4 years?
For the whole square mile of Maple Park, huh?
So Maple Park is divided by County Line Road, half of it's DeKalb, half of it's Kane County. Yeah, it's about one square mile. It was boring, nothing to do. But the people were great, so I'd find myself pulling over, playing basketball.
Awesome.
They had 4 bars within walking distance.
Sheriff Andy let you have a bullet.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I remember one time there was, I was riding with my partner, and I was training him and this guy who was known in town to be a very aggressive person. Starts flipping us off, starts waving at us. And my partner's like, yeah, you don't want to talk to that guy. That guy likes to fight with the police. I'm like, oh, really? Let's go talk to him. So I pull up, started talking to this guy, found out he had a root problem. No one ever addressed his root problem, which was he never received information back from the police department. I was like, oh, because where he lived, cars would park in his yard, and they'd walk to the bar.
Okay, gotcha. And he tried addressing it?
Tried addressing it, and then he called, and no one ever did anything about it. We drove by one time. I'm like, you know what? I said, I'm going to write this guy a ticket for you. From that point on, this guy was like our best friend. Never caused any problems. It was just a matter of just getting out and talking to people. But sometimes cops don't do that.
But, and that's interesting because that comes back to some of that training that we were talking about. There's certain towns, and definitely it's not everywhere, but I think of towns like Naperville, LaGrange, where they have a very large downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to see on a regular basis, more and more, say,
Foot patrol,
bicycle.
Yeah, absolutely. So
there's all sorts of times where I see police officers, even say driving through the neighborhood, and granted, they have all the gear on. It's 95 degrees out. It's humid. Windows up, air conditioning cranking. And it always just jumps in my head. What if somebody's yelling for help?
That drives me nuts.
Can't even hear.
That drives me nuts.
Like there's
in the wintertime, my windows were down.
Supposed to have it cracked.
No, I'd have them down.
Down.
I could put the air conditioner on. I'm not paying for the gas. I never got that. I never understood that.
But just becoming part of the community that they're serving.
Absolutely.
I think that would serve both sides very well.
So it would, and I can go back to that because in 1994, I was an auxiliary police officer in a town called Melrose Park. I don't know if you know Melrose Park or not.
Very well.
Very well. So my beat was Lake Street.
Okay.
By 9th Avenue, which the comeback in was right there. There was a highly populated area. It wasn't off of North Avenue.
When was this?
93, 94, 95. And so me and my partner.
You wouldn't have had to chase me then.
So me and my partner, we would, and by the way, I got the job by just saying, hey, can I come in and work? And they're like, here's a badge. You got a gun? Okay, wear your gun. We'll see you on the street. That was in the mid-90s. Nothing. Just grab a badge and a gun and you're gone.
Not a high level of training there either.
None at all. I think I did a 40-hour firearms course and that was it. But we would walk up and down and all we would do is talk to people. So that's where I got my community policing start was there. And it was awesome just to talk to people.
Yeah, sure.
People love talking to the police. They really do. They really do because they're like, as long as you're here, I'm safe.
100%.
Yeah.
I'm safe.
Absolutely.
Contrary to what the media says, that you're going to shoot and kill me.
So not that we had the ability to, as a citizen in Illinois, to carry a firearm concealed like we do now. While you were a police officer, is that something you think you would have been in favor of, or do you think that poses more issues?
So when I was working in Melrose Park, I bumped into a lot of people who had guns. A lot of people, and they would tell you right when you walked up on them. They would tell you certain things, and you'd be like, okay, well, as long as I don't see yours, you don't see mine. Okay, and you continue on your way. I would love to see more concealed carries. Love to see more of them. I wish we could have everybody in Illinois have a gun.
This blows people's minds, this subject right there about
I don't
armed society. Like people
Why would you not? Why would you not want to protect your family? I mean, so, and which does, what I don't understand is that man or woman, doesn't matter. You're out and about. You got kids. Someone tries to do something to you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Call 911? I mean, that's great. That's 5 minutes.
Right. When seconds count, police are minutes away.
In the meantime, they're trying to take your kids.
Right.
We have an influx of people coming into our country right now. They don't follow our rules. They don't follow our laws.
Right.
I mean, there's even talk that there's a couple of gangs in our area. And that's very scary.
Absolutely is.
So, I mean, if there's any time now to pick up a gun and protect yourself, it's got to be now. I mean, how many people do we have coming in that are unvaccinated, undocumented? Would we have 11 million?
I'm not sure where the number is. I know it's very high, and I know it's a lot more than it should be.
Yeah, I mean, last I heard was 11 million. That's the population of 30 states.
It's a lot of people.
30 states are just walking in. And it'd be different if there were 5-year-olds and, you know, 90-year-old women. But we're talking, there's also 18-year-old boys, 25-year-old men. And, you know, what are they here for?
And what happens when they run out of resources to provide for themselves? How do they get money? How do they get food?
So that's right? A great question. So how did they do it when they were down there or wherever they were at? Probably just went and took what they wanted.
Right. Absolutely.
Is there stuff up here to take? Oh, yeah, there's lots of stuff up here to take.
And that's kind of where I'm going with that. And that's
scary.
It is. It's 100% scary. And I don't know if, in general, most of our society puts that much thought into it to come up with an answer. Because I think if more people came up with the answer that we end up at, I think there would be more people that would realize they probably need to try and protect themselves.
At least be prepared to, 100%. And how much money do we spend every month in insurance? Hundreds of dollars every month?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what's the stop? Why can't we have an insurance policy to protect our lives? So what's a concealed carry cost nowadays? $150?
Yeah.
And then what's a gun? Decent gun, $550?
Decent gun, $500.
Yeah.
Another couple hundred dollars for some accoutrements.
So what do you have, $1,000?
To lock it up, yeah.
$1,000. So I got for $1,000 and no more fees, I can protect my family against pretty much anything and everyone.
And that's not a reoccurring cost. Once you have the gun.
You got it. And now you've got it. And now, now I'm going to go to range and just plink.
Yeah.
You know how much fun that is?
I do.
That's fun.
It's a lot of fun.
You go to the quarry out here in Ottawa and you just like plink, you shoot watermelons, you shoot cars. I mean, that's kind of fun.
It's a lot of fun. I have a blast.
So yeah, I mean, so that's... I don't understand, and I think people are so fearful of guns from the media and from what everyone keeps telling us. You know, everyone's going to grow up to be, you know, if you play video games, you're going to be a mass murderer. So I play Fortnite. I play Call of Duty. And during the height of this time, it was like, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, it shows you how many people are online. There's 14 million people online right now playing Call of Duty, or 10 million people playing Call of Duty. And I'm thinking to myself, there's 10 million people playing Call of Duty right now, so we should be just inundated with just armies of people coming down shooting. We have one shooting every couple months. So I don't see the correlation between video games. And I don't know if that's a question that you usually ask or not, but...
I don't think we've gotten into that part of it. Which of our guests mentioned Dave Grossman?
I love Dave. I've met him. I've talked to him.
Okay. I think one of our other guests met him as well.
I got a couple.
He was on that.
Yeah. Bandwagon. Should kids kill? What's his book called?
Yeah.
It's The Killing. Something like that. He's got a couple of them. Right up. They're black. They're black books with red lettering. Right.
But the notion is a lot of the violence is developed at a younger age from children playing video games?
I don't think he really text too much into that, but he's.
I thought he did. I think he did, and I think his trajectory was that, like, the percentage of soldiers over the generations of wars. And I'm sorry if I'm getting this wrong. I'll come back and correct if I have this wrong. But you know, I think his thesis or his hypothesis was, over time. The amount of soldiers who pointed their gun with malice to shoot an enemy increased around the time of Vietnam. And it was because the military went from a round target to a human silhouette.
See, I don't remember that.
And
he talked about so much stuff.
Then he sort of, I think, if I'm getting this right, was dovetailing that into, well, what's happening now is we're not just shooting at a silhouette on a piece of paper, but you have young people from a very young age shooting at human android kind of targets. That's my word, not his. But, you know, much more realistic replicas. And especially, like, my son just got, you know, PlayStation 5, and the graphics are...
He's so lucky.
The graphics are amazing.
They're amazing.
Right? They're like...
Yeah, it's right, like there.
3D almost, right? And now we actually have 3D because of the Oculus and stuff like that. So I think his hypothesis was that, you know, that there will be, if his hypothesis is correct, you know, we've gone from something very abstract like a round bullseye to something a lot less abstract, which is a human silhouette, to humans that talk and move and act like humans but in a video game. And if you're shooting them over and over, that your propensity to
I've never heard that from
commit him. Violence.
But. I've seen him a couple times, and he's never but when I see him, it was always on a police thing, so he's always talking about the bulletproof mind and stuff.
Right,
like
right.
That. So that's a completely different seminar, I guess you want to say, but that's interesting.
Yeah, and I hope I didn't, you know, mischaracterize his stuff, but that's sort of what I remember.
No, I liked him. Then he got.
I've seen a few of his talks on online. I'd love to, you know, I'd love to have him on if he'd ever be.
Oh, geez, could you imagine that?
Like, speak to us would be amazing.
Yeah, he got some hype a couple years ago. He got just slammed with the whole warrior thing.
What do you know? What?
Oh man, I don't. I'd have to look it up, but he did like some type of warrior training that we should all be trained like warriors, and you know, the certain population ran with that and said that they're just teaching officers to kill. And I'm like, that's not.
I'm pretty sure that's not what the message was.
It's not even close. I mean, you train like a warrior so that you are a warrior. I mean, we all know how training. I mean, you do training, so I mean, we all know how training works. You don't train to be moderate. You train to survive.
Yeah. I think I remember Coach Blauer, I think he got reached out to by law enforcement agencies out west that, you know, that he should change the name from Spear System, that it was too scary.
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah. So I was just like, wow.
And we're changing all kinds of things, aren't we? Yeah. I don't get it.
I don't quite understand it either.
See, but I came from a different generation. So my generation grew up when we were outside, the lights went on, and you go home, and everybody loved everybody.
I saw an interesting meme about that recently. It was something along the lines of, you know, I grew up in the generation where you went outside and played, and
you did.
Whatever kids didn't return, like, it's kind of like the Darwin Awards, right? Like, if you didn't come back home, you weren't going to make it anyway.
I had friends. We talked to friends. There was no social stuff. I mean, I was growing up in the 70s and the 80s. It was... We didn't hear about guns back then. I don't remember guns being a problem back then, but yeah, we had them.
Sure.
We had them. I just don't think it was on anybody's agenda to get rid of them at the time. And now it's on a couple agendas to get rid of guns. So what do? We scare people. I mean, that's fear. I mean,
that's the number one tactic.
That's the number one thing, fear. Yeah.
If you can incorporate fear and then in conjunction with children.
Oh my God.
That's it. People are going to go
shoot up schools. Well, how many school shootings have we actually had? Have we had any this year? I'm sure we have.
It hasn't been top. If there have been, there it hasn't been top of the news for a bit.
Yeah,
I get a publication, an email that's a educational sort of security field, and I don't read every single one, but I don't recall coming across anything recently. That's for
anything
sure.
big. So I mean,
yeah, there's stuff.
There is.
I know a college student recently was shot on the.
Is that in Georgia? No,
he was banging on the. On the window, I want to say this is South Carolina, and he was out late and was banging on somebody's front door or banging on a door of a house, and the homeowner shot him. But they had all kinds of video, and it was justified. It looks like
interesting.
Yeah,
because
but I mean, it's you know, it's the whole thing. You know, it's a shame. It's a young kid. He's going to college. He was out at a frat party. probably opening myself up to liability, but you can guess what they were doing at the frat party.
Yeah. That's what they do at frat parties.
Yeah, and under those conditions, you can be pretty boneheaded.
Yeah, you can wander off, and before you know it, knock on the door.
Yeah. We got called, as in Evanston, we got called to a house. The guy woke up, and there was someone sleeping on his couch. Yeah. He shook him, and we're like, hey, what are you doing here? He's like, I'm sleeping on my couch. Yeah. I was like, no, you're not. Find out he has the exact same house, but three streets over. Just walked into a house, thought it was his.
One of my coworkers was recently telling a story about how he was on his couch watching television, and it was in the summer, and the front door was open, screen door shut and whatnot. He's sitting there, and somebody a couple doors down was having a party, and somebody walked into his house holding a tray of food. And my coworker was like, I think you're at the wrong house.
So is that around here? Because me and my wife did that very thing.
No.
We walked into a house, and the guy had two Doberman pinchers.
Really? How'd that go?
We knocked on the door. We're like, hey, it's us. And we walked in, and there was two dogs just sitting there, and the lady was just sitting. She goes, are you supposed to be here? This is for one of my wife's business things. And I'm like, Amy, are we at the right house? And I'm just looking. There's Doberman pinchers just sitting there. I'm like, these things could probably tear us apart. And they were just like super docile. They're like, hey, what's going on?
Throw the food and run, Vince.
Man, so I'm like, so then we said, we're looking for so-and-so's. And they're like, oh, they live two houses down. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Well.
But yeah, I mean, I've done it. You know, geez. Anyway, I'm surprised sometimes I can still find my way home. You lose your memory. Yeah, interesting, though. Yeah.
I did. I had a wonderful woman that was my hair stylist, and she works out of her basement, and she's always so used to tell me.
You don't use her anymore, do you?
Well, she's thanks, Vince. They can't see me, but they she would say, you know, come in, the door will be open. And I always, as the security guy, I always try to get her to change that, and she never would because she didn't want to march up the steps every time she had a client come. So I got used to just jumping out of my car and walking right in. So one day I jumped out of my car and I walked up to this door and I like pushed it open. And I took a step and I was like, I realized it was a green door, not a black door. Uh-oh. And I realized I was in somebody else's house. I was just a house over.
Wow.
And I walked right in.
Isn't that crazy?
But you know, those things for sure happen. That's a lot crazy. Of people that take concealed carry, they don't consider that a lot. I think one of the biggest myths that I come across with people who take concealed carry is sort of that idea of, you know, your house is your castle and you can defend it, and pretty much it's almost like carte blanche. And I try to break the news. I tell that story, and just this, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why someone might be in your house, whether your teenage daughter invited her boyfriend over, and didn't tell you. There's the kids that, you know, drove all night because your kid went away to college. Your kid comes home and tells, you know, their friend that drove all night to get, hey, just crash out on our couch. I'll leave the door open for you. And you're the first one down the stairs in the morning. And there's a stranger in your living room. You know, you can go on and on and on about how someone, autism. We had a kid down the street that would run. And if you think a kid like that won't open your front door or come through your screen door in the back, they absolutely will.
Oh, yeah.
And so one of the biggest things people need to get a grip on is that, you know, just because someone is in your house doesn't automatically mean that they're a deadly force threat. Not that most people are, you know, armed in their home all the time, but there are those. You and me both, but.
Yeah. I have access to guns. I'm not, I don't walk around with a gun.
Do you EC? Yeah, I was going to ask you.
Do I carry? I'm a concealed carry license. I am an instructor, though I've never taught a class. How is that even possible?
We could change that.
I have a Glock 42, Glock 43. I've got a Shield. I'm looking to get a SIG 365. I think they're good guns.
Really nice.
Shot one. They're nice.
They are nice.
I've got a Gold Cup. I've got a government.
Gold Cup.
Got a Gold Cup. Wow. Inherited a Gold Cup. Inherited a Smith 38. Nice. And I got Bellini shotgun? Benelli. Benelli. Benelli shotgun. Inherited that. Never shot it. It's gorgeous.
Good one.
I don't want to shoot it. It's nice. It looks good. And I've got my I got my rifle.
I got my next level armament rifle.
Gotcha.
Love it, that gun.
But do you carry regularly?
So when I was a police officer, I never did. Only went into bad neighborhoods. So no, I don't carry. I to this day, I don't carry. I used to have a gun in my car all the time, but then my kids would use my car. And I'm like, eh, that's not the best. That's not a good idea.
Right.
That's not a good idea. I mean, the more and more things are coming down, the more and more I'm like, you know what? It's really easy to grab one. It's already in my holster. I just pop it in and away I go. No one's going to know you got it. And, you know, the 40, what's the 42? Is the 42 the 9 millimeter or the 43?
43.
43 is the 9?
43 is the 9, 42 is the 380.
Okay, so I got the 43. It's a small gun. I mean, it shoots well.
Yeah, it's great.
Really popular.
Super popular.
Everyday carry weapon.
Yeah. I mean, my boy loves shooting it. My boy's 19. He shoots. My daughter's 22. We're taking her to the range probably in 2 weeks or so. Up until probably like this year, I'm not going to give her a gun. She has anger issues. But no.
She's probably shooting dead.
My wife, she shot a couple of rifles before when I used to train in my police department. We had a shoot day one time and bring the family out, get the family used to guns.
What a wonderful woman, by the way. She's still doing.
She still writes books. She still writes books.
With kids, yeah.
She writes books.
Is she still on the circuit? Is she still going to school?
She's going next Wednesday to
Love to see
Prairie.
Her,
yeah. She goes. She's all over the place.
Awesome.
And then she's a director of an after school program in Naperville, so she does that too. So she's busy. Cool. She's a busy girl. I actually got a picture of her shooting tracing bullets, which is kind of cool.
Does she like firearms or not an enthusiast or anything like that?
No, she's like, that's your job to protect me. And I'm like, okay. And once again,
it falls
on someone else. I mean, so what am I going to, so my biggest fear is that I'm out and about, something happens, and I don't have my gun.
And that doesn't prompt you to want to carry one more regularly?
And usually the following week I carry every single day, everywhere I go. But then again, if I go to the county building, I can't carry anything.
True.
If I go do other county stuff, I can't carry, and just I don't know what the ramifications would be if I'm doing county business and I got a firearm with me.
Right.
I don't know if I'm
representing the county. About that too,
Well, and realistically, correct me if I'm wrong. Pretty much any municipal property you're on, you're not supposed to have it on you anyway.
Oh.
So right off the bat, just for work, you're very limited.
Very limited. And before, when I was the police, I could carry anywhere I want.
Sure.
But now I'm not the police anymore, so I got to be kind of careful where I carry. However, if they're asking me if I got a gun, then it's already probably too late. You know what I mean?
I agree.
And what's the whole thing? I'd rather be tried by 12 than carried by 6.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I say that. My boy says that now. He's like, he never knew what it meant until I explained it to him. He's like, oh, I like that. I like that. Especially nowadays, he's like, "Yeah, you can just plea bargain." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, no!" Well, I guess it depends what county you're in. You can plea bargain a shooting.
Right.
So, I mean, but yeah, I mean, because you guys do, because you do classes here all the time, which is awesome. I got a couple friends who do classes constantly. So, I know I had one friend who was doing classes for free for a while there.
No kid.
Yeah, I don't think some firearms place out in Mokina or something. He's doing them. You just walk in there, and he had like one class every month that was all free. Because he just wanted people to be armed in Illinois.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I wish I could. I wish I could. Sweet I wish deal. There was a way to do that where I could have everybody come in and we could just go, everyone's here, take the class, do this. This is 16 hours?
16 hours.
16 hours, shoot. You know, make sure that you're legit with the gun. You know how to use it. You know the perils. And now we got an armed society.
Well, now there's 29 states that are constitutional carry. You don't.
29.
I think I might be 28.
Yeah,
but I think
it's right there.
I think we're at 29.
Yeah, we're not far off.
Really?
A few years ago, we were at 13 or 14, and I think over the last 3 or 4 years, it's just more than doubled.
So you can just go to state and just carry. You have to be a resident, obviously.
Well, it's a little different. So say I'm going to speak of Florida because I recently traveled there, so I looked into it. Florida is a constitutional carry state for a state resident.
Okay.
If you're visiting and you have a permit in your state, they will honor it.
Well, is that concealed then, or?
Yes.
Wow. What's the crime rate down in Florida?
Can't answer that.
Yeah, I don't know. So here's a question for you guys. You guys have been doing this. Do crime rates relate to concealed carry?
Do states with concealed carry have lower crime rates, or do you think the two don't correlate? Because they always try to put those two together.
I don't necessarily think that there is a correlation. I'll tell you who I've been reading a little bit, and I've reached out to him to see if we can get him on the podcast, and I haven't had a lot of luck, though. It's John Lott Jr., and I've taken a couple of his class. I've gone to some of the seminars. When we were in Milwaukee for the USCCA, he gave a couple classes. I went to both of them. Really? And he's an economist, and he's a advocate for the Second Amendment. I believe he taught at Harvard.
Holy cow.
But he has a couple of books, and it's very interesting to see his charts and see his information and hear him break down how inaccurate some of those numbers could be. If you look at, okay, well, what's the crime, you know, violent crime rate in Illinois? And then they have a conceal, you're allowed to conceal carry in Illinois. So obviously, you know, if the crime rate's real high and you have concealed carry, then it must not be working. Look at the crime rate. One variable within that equation can drastically throw off a number.
Right, right. Because it just wasn't until recently Chicago lifted their ban. Did they have a ban where you couldn't even have a gun in Chicago?
I believe a handgun.
Handgun.
Mm-hmm. I believe a handgun. And
it's not until just recently, right?
Recently, 5 years.
Because now that I think about it, I mean, the homicide rates were skyrocketing when Chicago had the ban, right? They had homicides back then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But again, does it have anything to do with the ban or not?
So does legalizing guns have anything to do with the ban? Did it go up or did it go down? If crime didn't change, then there's a good indication that guns have no.
Well, and so one of the things
I feel very confident in sort of agreeing with that.
Like, I never thought about it that way, but now that we're talking, that just makes. I mean, why did they legalize guns then? Why did they lift that ban?
Because they had to.
Yeah.
Because the court said what you're doing is unconstitutional.
Kind of like the 94 to 2004. Assault ban?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Which they're trying to get that back in place now, so.
Well, it is in Illinois, right? The Safety Act.
Does Safety Act do that?
Well, you can't, buy, sell,
safe transfer? Safe Communities Act.
Yeah, it's a Safe Communities Act. It's not the Safety Act.
It's a Safe Communities
Act. Yeah.
But yeah, here in Illinois, buy, sell, transfer what they categorize as an assault weapon.
And registration.
And a registration if you previously owned one.
Right, right. We talked about registering, not doing it. It's a misdemeanor, then a felony. So
when you go to purchase a firearm and you fill out the, is it 44?
4487.
73. Something.
I took all my information. That wasn't registered.
Sure. What they're doing is a background check to make sure they can sell you a firearm.
I could swear you said my gun was registered.
What they typically don't do is register the firearm. Now, where it could become registered is, and I may be mistaken here, but I'm pretty sure this is right, talking to Joe Schiavone, the Voodoo Firearm, is he has to keep all those records indefinitely.
Yeah. Used to be 10 years.
10 or 12 years, yeah.
So your paperwork that you fill out, so a check goes into the FBI, and they do that, and then they get a call back that you're clear to purchase your firearm. And then their paperwork goes into their file at the store. If you shoot somebody with that gun and drop it at the crime scene, serial number will lead detectives to the manufacturer. The manufacturer will tell you what distributor it was from. This is at least the way I understand it. Then the distributor will say what gun store it got sold from. And then the police will go to that gun store, I think,
so that
just
gun
ask for it.
That gun store is no longer around.
So right. What happens then, if I recall, sorry to cut you off.
No, that's okay.
Well, if a firearm store closes, they're required to send those boxes to the ATF.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they didn't do that.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Joe said that was more recent too. I don't know that yep. was an all the time thing.
Like, yeah.
That may have been a more recent development that now ATF is asking for that stuff.
That's the policy.
I don't think in the 1990s that was a thing. I think it was 10 years and like
years
you could get rid of that paperwork. But now it's like, I think who was he talking about that? Like he's getting a trailer like to put, just store paperwork. Yep.
The more and more firearms you sell, and, you know, those banker boxes start to take up a lot of space.
Oh my gosh, that's true. Yeah,
we were at I believe you were at the meeting with the ISRA, Illinois State Rifle Association, and one of the store owners there.
Or was it him that had the trailer? That was in the trailer.
I think he had to do three of them.
3 40-footers or something.
3 40-foot trailers.
Wow.
Full of records. And he.
So the record stays with them. Registration would have had afterward, like if you live in a municipality uh-huh. and there were some that required registration, then you would, to be legal, you would have to go to your local PD and tell them, this is my address, I live here, and I have this particular weapon.
Gotcha, okay.
So the change now is that the state of Illinois now wants all people that own particular kinds of rifles that they've deemed more dangerous.
Or magazines.
Register. That's or not, magazines. Yeah, magazines.
I don't know. Included. I think my little 38, that could hurt somebody, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Pretty sure that could hurt somebody.
Yeah, it would. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, geez, one of the worst school shootings in the world was a handgun, Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech.
Yeah, he did it with a Glock.
Yeah.
One was a Glock, one was a 1911, yeah. I believe.
Handguns.
Pistols. Yeah.
Pistols.
Awesome, right.
Pistols, which is interesting.
Well, that doesn't have to make sense either, right? Like, there's very, very little crime committed with... the big boogeyman is the ARs, right?
Yeah.
Very little crime committed with it, but...
And how many are out there?
It scares people, and then politicians can make a lot of hay by, saying, I'm gonna take away something that scares you.
I'm going to take away this gun from you. Forget the tobacco that kills millions. Forget the DUIs that kills millions. Forget the other stuff that kills millions. I just recently got into an argument with a lady who said that firearms was the second leading cause of child death.
Well, they've been saying first.
Yeah, that's the second. So I actually Googled child death, and it's number six.
On our website, www.2atoday.us, we have a blog page. We've each written a couple blogs. And the first blog I wrote was, the title of it was Capitalizing on Ignorance. And what it basically said was people that aren't familiar with firearms or don't care to learn about firearms basically get most of their information from either a television show, a movie, or the media. And either way, it's a terrible source.
Horrible.
And I've heard a lot of that, where firearms have become the number one killer of children in this country. But what they were doing was considering children, death by a firearm for children, all the way up through 19 years old, up until somebody's 20. But cutting off the vehicles at 17. So you've got those extra 3 years of an age group in one category, and they're not included in another category.
I think not a lie with numbers.
Absolutely.
Right here on the 2A Today podcast.
Yeah.
You can lie. Yeah, numbers are so malleable, I guess.
They are, but at sometimes when you break them down, sometimes they're also irrefutable.
Absolutely they are. Yeah.
It's just what is somebody trying to do with the information?
Yeah, because you can skew sometimes, but when you take a look at it, like you said, the numbers are the numbers. Yeah, and I think right now the number one cause of death is accidents.
Accidents, yeah.
Accidents.
Oh, with firearms?
No, with
kids. No, just the cause of death. When you're a kid, if you make it past, if you make it past a few years of age, so there's sort of a high death rate for little babies because we know
falling
horrible SIDS and stuff like that. Right? Okay, so that happens, and that's not. It's rare, but it's not all that rare. But then, if you make it past that first year or two, you're pretty much not going to die of diseases, generally.
Generally? Right? I think that's number three,
There are children. I just saw one of the ads today for kids that have cancer.
So sad.
Okay, so that aside, that's what's going to kill you. It has to be some kind of accident.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to die of it, natural causes until you're...
Right
now, our age.
Right,
right.
And this person I was talking to had 150,000 followers.
So it's not that hard even to get on the list of things that'll kill you when you're very young, because there's so few deaths. So factor at all. And if you take accidents, but I think you're absolutely right. I don't think I'm trying to recall. I had the CDC stuff. In a PowerPoint, and I know accidents was number one, and basically accidents is you fall off of something, fall out of your parents' window.
Up your game a little bit and have somebody else that's throwing stuff up on a screen.
We do. I don't know what you're doing with your free time.
where's your laptop?
Start doing Joe Rogan and start throwing stuff.
Yeah,
up
yeah.
There, man.
But then we got to do video.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I'm always humbled, man. I listen to a lot of things and look at it, watch a lot of things, and I'm just, there's some amazing people doing a lot of work in the Second Amendment realm, in the law enforcement realm, in the politics realm.
Oh, politics,
man. It's interesting. Just amazing what these social media influencers are are doing, and
it is, yeah.
The groundbreaking work and the information that people are putting out there is really, really impressive.
The problem is when they put the wrong information out there, the misinformation.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, if you can avoid that if you think about it a little bit, you know.
You can, yeah. However, when you get someone who's in a position of authority and they're like, oh, this is X, Y, and Z, and you're like, oh, okay. That just recently happened to me where I'm like listening to information coming out of someone's mouth. I'm like, that doesn't sound correct. So then I asked them and they're like, well, that's not what I said. And I'm like, well, I can rewind the video for you and play it for you. And then they're like, well, that's not my intention. My intention wasn't to relay that information. I'm like, but you did.
Well, you know, you have some dangerous skills. You listen to people. Yeah. And you can think critically.
Critical thought process.
Yeah, that's what scares people. I listen 100%. I'm like one of the, there's probably out of the 22 board members, there's probably four of us that just listen. And then every now and then we push that talk button, people are like, EF Hutton's talking. And I've always got a wisecrack. I always got a wisecrack because I just am a wisecrack kind of guy. And I just kind of sit back and go, oh, yeah, people heard that. So it's interesting. So I'm looking forward to being reelected in November. And then I got 4 years.
How do
4 years?
Yeah. Well, yes. Good luck with the race, the campaign. If
how should people find you? Reach out to you. If
VinceLogan.com. Logan for Will County. You can just type in
VinceLogan. VinceLogan.com.
You can just type in Vince Logan anywhere and it Vince pops Logan up. Vince Logan. Okay. There's me and another guy. There's this guy that works in Washington D.C. I'm not him.
Okay.
Yeah. They type in Vince Logan or VinceLogan.com. It goes right to it, and then you can see my platform, what I stand for.
Gotcha.
Which is interesting because I stand for what everybody should stand for. Safe environment, safety, low taxes, and leave me alone.
Yeah.
So theoretically, I should get everybody's vote.
Right.
Well.
But it's not that easy.
No, but it should be. It should be that cut and dry, right?
It should be. When you talk to people, everyone wants the same thing. I'm like, why do we have so many problems then?
You're missing up. You know, you could have held up another finger, and if you did, it would be, you know, a handout. And, like, you know, that gets a lot of votes.
Sure does.
Handout gets a lot of votes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But handouts cost money.
They do.
I was actually talking to someone recently, and they're like, yeah, I'm putting in for a grant. And I'm like, from the state. It was a grant from the state. They're like, man, the state just got all kinds of money. I'm like, you realize that that's taxpayer money. No, it's not. That's state money. I'm like, I think the state's not like a business where they make money. They don't sell products. I mean, all the money they give back to you is – it was like a light bulb moment. They're like, oh, I never even thought about that. All this grant money that all these programs I'm paying for. I'm like, where have you been?
Yeah.
Where have you been for the last 45 years?
It's hard to believe that people don't make that connection.
They don't. Because it's just, it's a grant. It's
right.
A subsidy. It's a fund. Why don't you just call it taxpayer money?
Unless it's a private charity. It's our tax dollars.
Which my wife and I do have a private charity, by the way.
Yep.
We give out money.
You do.
Yeah. So you guys got to come to our charity. It's in October. We have a big event at the Bolingbrook Golf Course.
Well, what we'll do is if you're inclined, as it gets closer and you ramp up your campaign a little bit, have you on as a guest again.
That would be fun, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because we like to give money away.
A shooting fundraiser of some sort, maybe.
So those don't really go very well.
No. Okay.
Yeah, those don't go very well. Those are kind of frowned upon.
Okay.
Which is interesting because there was a Will County person running for a position in Will County, and they did a gun raffle.
Yeah.
So they would raffle off money to raise money.
Right.
That cost that person their job.
Did it really?
It did.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, this is no secret, but they were running for an education position, and they were currently an administrator.
Uh-oh.
And they did a gun raffle. So those two things.
I still don't see a problem.
Yeah, I still don't see
it. I don't see a problem with it, but the administration for a certain high school didn't think that their dean should be doing a fundraiser that specifically targets guns.
Wow. Well, he was wrong.
Because that person is now the ROE for Will County. She won. So, I mean.
She's
awesome. Yeah, Lisa's an awesome superintendent. So she won. She's no longer a dean of a high school anymore.
Gotcha.
Which is interesting. I mean, if you talk to her, she's doing great things. So, I mean, but yeah, guns just, I mean, I guess it'd be like doing like an alcohol fundraiser. Maybe. Alcohol, yeah, maybe not. Alcohol fundraisers. Most fundraisers circle around alcohol, don't they? So I guess that's probably okay.
And I look at a firearm a little differently because that so much of our country's beginning was owed to firearms. And it's, you know, the Second Amendment.
I was going to say, so, it's so important that it was the Second
Amendment. Right.
They said, and I forgot who said that, but one of your people recently said that, that it was so important that it's the Second, not the Fourth or the Fifth. It's the Second thing. They're like, you know what? We'll let you say whatever you want to, but we probably should have guns in there. And then we'll worry about quartering people and freedom, of, and then you know, right to incriminate yourself and search and seizure and some others. Let's get those guns in there. For, I mean, there had to be a reason why. And it's interesting. I read that Second Amendment. I'm like, we're not English teachers, me and you, but that's like the worst sentence ever.
Based on today's verbiage.
Holy cow.
But
holy cow, you read that going, that just doesn't make any sense. There's a couple of commas in there, too many commas in there. Yeah. And if you know the history, well, you guys know the history of 2A. States already had that before the Federals did. So, and they got
ours,
right.
Ours sounds a lot like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because everybody else, like the other states, made it first. Everyone should have their guns. Everyone should have a gun first. And then they went to the militia, right? If I remember correctly. I'm going back.
I'm not sure.
Ooh, yeah. I'm not.
But if they flip them, they put. Individual has the right to have a gun first and the militia second, opposed to the way that the feds.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Individual second. I'm almost positive that's how it goes. It's just that's been a long time since I've looked at that stuff.
But if you go back to the blog, I think that was my second one.
Oh, really?
The meaning of the Second Amendment.
Oh, I should go take a look at that. Okay. Oh. 2atoday.com?
.us.
.us. Okay.
Yeah. We'll send you a link.
Yeah, thanks. That would be kind of cool. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
No, thank you, Vince.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
Man. Yeah, this is fun.
Absolutely. I told you it would be.
Yeah, you did.
Think we'll have you back in maybe August or September while you're in the middle of your campaign.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Okay.
That'd be fun, yeah. By then, maybe something else will happen. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll do that. Again, thanks very much. Really appreciate
this. Oh, yeah, this is good. Thanks.
Had a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you.